We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
What do you think about the Laker team now?
You follow the box scores of the games every day?
Just the Lakers.
You're kidding. That is really a compliment.
I was pleased to see you smile at the top of our show, because once the game starts, you have a game face. You don't smile much out there.
I don't think you have to do things for money anymore.
Correct.
What's up, Laker fans? Welcome to the Laker Film Room Podcast, brought to you by the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm Pete, joined as always by Darius and Mike. And we finally made it to the end of this crazy regular season. Lakers ended on a five-game winning streak with a 42-30 record to close out the season, but end up in the seventh seed, meaning that they are in the play-in tournament against the Golden State Warriors. This is going to be kind of a two-part podcast episode, where in the second one, we're going to be much more matchup specific against Golden State, but they're going to come up a little bit in this pod as well. But the idea of this one, I'm fascinated to hear Mike and Darius's thoughts on this, because this is something that I've been arguing with myself with for the better part of the last couple of weeks. And every game, a little bit more information comes in, especially with LeBron's return. There are a lot of reasons to be pessimistic. There are a lot of reasons to be optimistic. So I'm curious, just the guys, where you guys are at right now. I'm not asking for predictions or anything like that, but just, Darius, what's your general sense? We got to see a little bit of LeBron, right? How you feeling about this team? You're already laughing at me.
No, I want to hear from Mike, because you should have seen Mike's face when you said there's plenty of reasons to be pessimistic. Because
Mike has told us we cannot comment on his face or any visual happenings on the pod.
Thank you, Pete. Thank you, Pete.
I got you, man. I try to respect boundaries. Yes.
Nonetheless, I'll take that. I will cop to my facial reaction when Pete said... What was the exact, like, a lot of reasons for pessimism?
Reasons. There's plenty of reasons.
Maybe not a lot, yeah. But some.
I thought
some
that was a little strong.
Okay, a lot. That let me clarify. We have some important reasons. We had a scare with LeBron tonight, right? Coming down, he said he's fine and all of that. And from watching the video, it didn't look like he actually turned the ankle. I think it was more of one of those, you come down weird and you land on a guy's ankle, but foot, but you don't actually turn the ankle. But nonetheless, our leader isn't fully healthy, Mike, and the whole premise of what you say so often is we got LeBron and we got AD, but like, we don't know what the version of LeBron we have, you know what I mean? So even if it's not a lot of reasons, there is, and obviously the goal is to win the title, right? So that's ultimately what the lens through which we see this.
I'm just smiling because this always goes back to the feeling that I had my first year working for the Lakers on the plane, when I came in, not a Laker fan, right? A new Laker employee, feeling like the Lakers had the best team on paper, and surprised at the level of angst that was around the team. And for the last couple of weeks, I have been totally understanding the level of angst based on LeBron James and his health, based on Anthony Davis and his health. Was not worried at all about the rest of the stuff. Role players, rhythm, all that kind of stuff. Fine. Plenty. Loaded. So I saw, for me, I saw what I needed to see from LeBron and Anthony Davis from a health perspective. Saw what I needed to see. And that was confirmed by LeBron in the postgame, was confirmed by Anthony Davis. And LeBron is close enough to 100%. It's not there yet. You know, maybe he's 80, 85. I thought he looked better in New Orleans on the second half of a back-to-back, which was encouraging. I thought it helped that the Indiana game was in the morning because it gave him, it was a little bit less like a traditional back-to-back and that he had the rest of that day to get going. But so there are plenty of challenges that are going to come for the Lakers, starting with the play-in, starting with playing some probably a tougher slate of teams than last year. Potentially a team in the finals being better than what the Miami Heat were able to get to. So the challenges are there. I am by no means, you know, guaranteeing or advocating that they, you know, that this is just, oh, it's a wrap. Lakers are the favorite, but the Lakers are going to win the title. But I do think they're the favorite. I do. I think they have a hungry mindset. I think LeBron and AD are close enough. And that was what I was waiting to see. The timing just worked out by a hair. You know, literally, like they just got these guys back. And the reason, Darius, that I try to keep that level of optimism that I think I've been exuding these last couple of weeks is because the timeline did suggest that they would be able to do that. So that's my perspective. I'm very curious for yours.
Go back 2 weeks, and I think two and a half weeks ago, I was probably as pessimistic about the Lakers, considering the makeup of this roster, that I probably could have been. There was so much swirling around them. And while I think Mike, and I think that this is fair for me to say, while I think I totally agreed that some of the outcomes that you were speaking to were possible and maybe even probable, that I was carrying a healthy amount of skepticism around what the team looked like at that time. And to a certain extent, I think that that was fair, and you probably both agree that that was fair. Where I'm at now, if I had to put a number, Pete, on sort of my, like, the confidence index that I have around this team, it would probably be a little bit under 8, but over 7, right?
Out of 10.
Yeah, like out of 10. So if we were on a scale of 100, it would be like 78, right? Something like that.
That's not too bad.
Just for a neutral, Darius, what was it last year?
Last year, depending, after the Bucks-Clippers weekend, I was probably closer to 90.
Yeah, like, that's the number I was going to say. Yeah.
Like they looked so good at that point and just looked to be on a trajectory. And to be honest, like, some of that took a bit of a hit during the play-in games just because everything was so new and fresh and no one had played for so long that it was hard for me to bridge that in my head. But once they started to get on a roll during the playoffs, I got back to the point where I knew that this team had it in them to actually win the title. And so I'm below where I was last year, but I still think I'm fairly optimistic about this team, considering where I was just a few weeks ago. But Pete, like, where are you at? Just because you opened the pod saying you've been going back and forth in your head about this a fair amount. And I think we should get into both sides of that too.
Yeah, that's funny. I think I'm more pessimistic than either of you, which rarely happens, at least more pessimistic than you, D. I'm probably 65. And that is because Mike was just talking about the timing. That's my biggest concern, is that this particular group of guys that we have hasn't played a high-level game in a long time. And the jump, like, these last two games between Indiana and New Orleans were basically glorified preseason games. And in order to do what we'll need to do to advance, We're going to have to be sharp. We're going to have to be sharp with our defensive rotations. I was relieved by our second half, and I'm glad that I know we had that scare with LeBron, but we're – first off, LeBron coming back, and this is the optimistic side. He looks definitely better than I thought he was going to physically, especially in this past game. And seeing the places where he struggles with it and where he doesn't have really calmed some of my nerves on that front. He's a right-handed player, so he's primarily a left-footed jumper. It's his right ankle that's giving him the problems. So we've seen him elevate a couple of times and look like, oh, yeah, that's LeBron or close to him.
Yeah, he's also not a major two-foot jumper at right. this stage of his career. He was definitely that earlier in his career, but he is much more of a one-foot takeoff guy, and the explosion has decreased a fair amount in the last 3 to 4 years when you talk about his 2 feet explosion, but his foot explosion is still like, oh, he's damn near looking at the rim.
Right. And we've already seen that a couple times.
Yeah. So Pete, I would argue that now LeBron didn't play in these games, but the Denver game, the Phoenix game, the Lakers were fully engaged defensively.
Yes.
And AD was leading the charge. So yes. Shooter also didn't play. You put LeBron and Schroeder into that mix when the Lakers have to be engaged, which of course they will in the play-in. And that does not create trepidation for me. This is not a team that hasn't shown it before. Even if some of the guys are new, like, I don't care. It's LeBron. Who's played in sure. more scenarios than him? Are we really worried about LeBron coming and bringing it to that extent? Like, all I needed to see was his movement physically this weekend, and it was pretty good. The rest of it, I don't know, you know, what it is that you needed to see that we can't assume based on what we know. Not optimistic, not pessimistic, but realistic.
There's nothing that they could have shown in the last two games because these games didn't have stakes to them. I mean, only to a minor degree. We won all of them and we still didn't change our seeding, right? And so it's more
like the seeding games last year.
Right, absolutely. And your point's well made about the big week that we had where we beat Phoenix, where we were really competitive in Portland and were a call or two away from winning that game. And then who else did we beat? Denver that week.
Denver.
So I think that we kind of exhibit, and we got our butts kicked by the Clippers that week too, which we should also point out. But that week, I think, kind of showed what we were at our best or close to it without LeBron and was very encouraging, especially on the defensive end, no doubt. I'm not saying that this concern is super high level for me, but in a circumstance where it's a not one game and go home, right? Because we're the seventh seed, but the Warriors are legit. Like, the Warriors are champions. We don't have that advantage against them in that Steph and Draymond, their two most important guys at the very least, have played in important games just like our best guys have, right? So they don't have that advantage over us. I was cracking up when Draymond drew that sixth foul on Dylan Brooks and then was like, stupid, right? Because that's essentially what ended the game, was he drew that cheap foul on him. And it was a great play. You're going to make veteran plays against young teams like that that will flip games. Neither the Lakers nor Golden State have much of an advantage in that respect. Although once you get past Steph and Dre, you could certainly argue for us in that respect. But I'm not – basically what I'm saying is that we have not, as this group, even though it was just LeBron that was out, played in a really high-level game in quite some time. And – do I think that we'll be able to turn it on? I do. But there's enough variance. There's enough. We've made a lot of car analogies and like getting on the freeway. We're getting on the freeway and trying to merge into traffic with a faster car than Golden State has. But they're like 15-5 over their last 20, right? They've been very precise. I can see versions of us where we're turning the ball over, where we're making mental mistakes and not picking up Steph. And he knocks down a transition three. I don't think this happens many times if we get to play 100 times, but you don't get to play. This isn't a 7-game series. You know what I mean? And so there's a bit of anxiety that goes along with that.
Yeah. So this current version of the Warriors, the one that's had success, right? And they have had success. They've beaten some good teams. They beat Phoenix. They beat Utah. But they sort of eked all those games out, and they did it mostly with Steph late. And this is a tiny team. Yeah. It is playing right now. Okay. So they're playing Draymond, or they're playing Looney, you know, at the five, about 31 minutes, like tonight. The three guys they're playing off the bench, they've playing 8-man rotation. That's the old, they only trust 8 guys. It's Jordan Poole, it's Mike Mulder and Toscano Anderson off the bench, right? Oubre isn't healthy. It's Bazemore starting with Wiggins on the wing. Like, this is a team that LeBron and AD should eat up on that side of the floor. As good as they've been defensively, and as much as they're able to switch, LeBron and AD to me are the antidote. And the Lakers have the best collection of guards to kind of throw at Steph, big guards, trapping guards, switching guards, AD and LeBron helping. So I, for a one-off, the fact that it's a one-off is one thing, but I like the matchup. And just to summarize, Pete, kind of the thoughts that you were making before, I know I'm adding a bunch of stuff into the equation here for Darius to pick out. You have to mentally piece together the various elements of what the Lakers have shown lately. It's AD, right? Him being healthy. It's LeBron being healthy enough. It's the role players coming back on time. And they haven't all done it in one game because they haven't really had to. And I am just sort of feeling like that's going to come in this Golden State game. And it makes total sense to want to see it first to believe it. But it's that to me, it's based on knowledge of what we've seen from them the last couple of seasons.
100%. I think we're a really good matchup for them, and we're going to get more into that. If we win the game against Golden State, my confidence index spikes from that mid-60s to probably mid-80s, because I do think like how the bracket sets up for us after that, if we get past that. There's so much variance, and there's so, like you said, we haven't actually seen it yet, and I do think that we match up really well with them, but anything can happen in one game, you know?
It's tricky for me when you talked about where my confidence level is. It's not just my confidence level going into a Golden State game. It's also the potential of what the bracket could look like.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If the Lakers are able to stick in seventh. I don't want to get too much into the matchup with the Warriors at this point. Maybe we should take a break at this point, because I'd love to come back on to the other side and sort of talk about some of the things that I am excited about. But then also, I think we should get into some of the things that maybe are raising our antenna about whether it's individual players or rotation stuff that could potentially maybe lower that confidence index as well.
Yeah, let's take that break, come back and get into that. Credit Karma has always been there to help you make better financial decisions, and now they want to help even more. With a Credit Karma Money Spend account, you can be rewarded for good money habits. Credit Karma Money is a brand new checking account where you can win cash reimbursements for making purchases. When you use your Credit Karma Money debit card, you can win daily Instant Karma purchase reimbursements on items up to $5,000. Just pay with your debit card, and if you win, you'll be notified on the spot, and your Instant Karma cash will be added back to your spend account. Credit Karma Money has already given away over $3 million in Instant Karma to 50,000 Credit Karma members and counting. Open your FDIC-insured spend account for free. There's no minimum balance requirements, no overdraft fees, and free withdrawals from a network of over 50,000 ATMs. And when you make a purchase between June 8th and June 30th, you'll be automatically entered to win $1 million. Credit Karma Money. Progress starts here. Right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank Incorporated, member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply. All right, D, so what's on your mind? What's vexing you, and what are, like, I've been really excited by Anthony Davis's looking like every bit the superstar, not in this Pelicans game so much, but he was very much taking it easy. But we have reasons to be optimistic, but what are some of the things that are vexing you?
Well, it's not so much things that are vexing me. I'd actually rather start with like the positive stuff. Like I've really been liking.
Yeah, Pete, it's not a Darius displeasure scale day. Okay. We're going to say that.
Apparently
for the first,
not. Apparently, yeah,
we're
going to
say that for the
today.
First postseason loss. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. Like, I've been liking what I've been seeing from Andre Drummond for the most part. I've been the last few. He had 10 rebounds at halftime. I think this game, he's really like the rebounding force that we thought the Lakers were getting when they signed Drummond has not really been there consistently over the course of all of these games that he's played. And I think that recently, though, as AD's activity level has gone up, and now that LeBron is back, Drummond's making a big impact on the offensive glass to the point where he is drawing fouls and getting teams into the penalty faster.
Darius, he said in the walk-off after the New Orleans game that basically his job is just easy right now. In he met LeBron AD. He's like, oh, this is cool. No one's paying any attention to me. I can just go get rebounds. Like I can get put by. Like, so yeah, just to build on your point, I think that's part of the reason why we've seen him look better, right? Because he's the guy that's at best the third focus of the defense in the offense.
Yeah, and look, it's not like the Pelicans' defense is the Great Wall of China here. It looked much more like Swiss cheese, but he made a couple of really good plays sort of slicing in from the dunker spot that are going to be important plays for him as a scorer. And he's really been taking up a ton of space on the low block when he's been going after offensive rebounds. And one of the things that I think has really helped the Lakers sort of in their transition defense is that he is battling so hard on the offensive glass that it has been hard for teams to just grab and go on the Lakers and really get out in transition. And so I just wanted to give Drummond a little bit of love because I know that he's been, you know, a whipping boy for a lot of Lakers fans. And even us on this pod, we're calling for more Marc Gasol minutes. And I think Gasol's looked great in almost every shift that he's played whenever he's gotten run. But some of that sort of chatter for, hey, Mark should maybe start or he should get most of the minutes, some of that stuff has died down a little bit of late. And I think that that's directly related to Drummond being more of an impact player. And he helps with my confidence because the more plays that he can make defensively, the more active he is on the offensive glass, the more of a small thing difference maker that he can be, the Lakers ceiling incrementally goes up and up.
Yeah. So the plan is one, it's the fact that it's not an elimination game, right? But the team that wins is in, and then if the Lakers were to lose that, they would play the winner of Memphis and San Antonio. I'm just thinking, it's not like we can take the play-in thing and set it aside. I'm just looking at the way that the Lakers are playing now, and this now meaning like this compilation, this weird compilation of the last week where I'm at least assuming that LeBron's going to get to a different level. I'm assuming that Anthony Davis is going to play defense like he did against Denver and Phoenix and didn't have to do against Indiana and New Orleans. So, of course, those guys are going to play at that level. After 2 days of practice with Vogel and the scouting report, they know how to play against Steph nobody knows how to play against the Warriors more than LeBron, right? They know exactly what they're going to do. They know what the personnel around Steph is. So I think they're going to have a good plan, and it's going to take an insane level of Golden State Warrior shot making to beat them. So I'm not saying like chalk that one up, but I'm saying I would feel good if I were the Lakers. And the Lakers, by the way, do feel good. If you listen to their postgame, about they do feel confident going into that game. And that's where you look at that. You can start to look at that side of the bracket and you're thinking, all right, Phoenix, you know what that is. And Denver, you know what that is. Like this is a team that despite everything that went wrong this year, if you would have just given me this scenario, even including the play-in, if you would have given me this scenario after LeBron got hurt, I would have said, yeah, that's fine. Yep. Like sign them up for it. They can handle that. Like they can handle it. It's not guaranteed, but that's where some of the, to me, again, realism as opposed to optimism comes in.
Mike, how much does the lack of games together with the main group bother you?
Almost zero. Almost Why? Zero. Because they are vets. They have the best player in the game. They know, like other than Drummond, essentially, right, who's still figuring out how to play together, the rest of the guys all know what to do. They all know how to play together. And if Drummond, like Drummond is an attack player to me to start the game, be physical, like be big, get a couple rebounds. But if for whatever reason that isn't effective, like great, just bring in Marc Gasol, who knows exactly how to play with these guys, or play AD more at the five. Golden State, you can go super small against them if you need to. Bring in the Caruso, Kuzma, Wes Matthews trio off the bench. Maintain your defensive intensity. Steph's not going to get a second in this playing game where he isn't being just completely attacked by real defenders, right? It's going to be Shooter. It's going to be KCP. They're not going to be worried about Bazemore that much, right? Then Caruso's coming off the bench. Who better as a bench guard to go in and make life difficult on Steph, who, by the way, guys, he took 22 threes today. Like that's not easy. And I'm not saying, like, so I just think that that's going to be part of the plan. And then Draymond, they're going to let him shoot, right? Like they're not going to have to protect the rim much other than when Steph up fakes somebody. And guess what happens there? LeBron and AD recover into the middle of the paint. So I don't know how Golden State stops the Lakers really from getting some good looks on offense. And I don't know how, other than an insanely efficient 3-point shooting game, which we know does not happen very often against the Lakers when they're locked in on defense. They do not give up, Darius, high volume, high efficiency 3-point shooting nights.
I'll be very interested to see how this matchup plays out. Pete, you have been sort of banging the drum on the other side of Mike's argument, which is like togetherness matters. And I think I've skewed more towards that perspective than Mike's, just because I do believe that the time together helps and that the time together matters. And that even though the idea of these guys are veterans, that's definitely true. And I don't want to like gloss over that as if it's nothing. There is some stuff where I'm just like, okay, like these guys get it. Possession after possession after possession. And there is a togetherness that you need that comes from reps as much as it comes from smarts, right? And so where are you at with that? Like I'm sure you would want more, but they don't have that. So how much is that impacting your perspective on this?
What bothers me so much about this is I don't feel very confident in my opinions either way. That's what the result of this season has been, in that, and the missing piece between what I see and the ingredients on the table and this is where I think this is going to go, is I don't know how long it will take. Like I've been saying all year, I still firmly believe this is the most talent that we've ever had on a Lakers roster. But when it's a combination of that and so little time together,
yeah,
what does that add up to? I don't, and it's especially in an unprecedented season, I don't have another season that's a great frame of reference for this one. But my point, my concern, which I'm probably sounding more concerned than I actually am overall, I think that we're in really good shape. But I know that to get from the level of play where we're at right now to where we need to be is it's a bit of a journey. And it's certainly a journey and an adjustment period to go from the level of competitive games that we were in and have been playing in up until and to the playoffs. As great as we were last season, I would argue that the way that we approached the seeding games is part of the reason why we lost game one to Portland. Is it just takes a little while to get the diesel engine revved up. And so that is my biggest concern. If we had like a week more of time for these guys to play together, and that's just three games, maybe four games, I would feel so much better. It's just that it's only two games of LeBron. There's a certain amount of being used to each other and understanding that I don't know how long it's going to take to get to the point that they need to. And that's not at all saying that they can't or that they won't. I just, if you're talking about a one game type scenario, that's again where some of my anxiety comes in.
So where the Lakers, the reason that I've been pushing back on this idea about cohesion and chemistry, which I do believe is very important, is that this is not a group of guys that has had zero time together. So we got to stop pretending like it is. It, other than Drummond, well, again, I get that it's starting, but he's got a pretty simple role. Okay. Set a hard screen, roll to the hoop, rotate on D, grab a rebound, like, you know, hit somebody here and there. Schroeder has been out for a little bit. Like, he knows what to do with this group. And then off the bench, this is the kind of the area that I wanted to bring up for this pod. And we can get more specific into the play-in game on Golden State. As we move forward here, Frank Vogel showed us a little something with the rotation tonight.
Yeah.
Right.
And oh, yeah, I know, I put a smile on your face, Mike.
Well, yeah, but it's also, I know I've gotten to know, I think, a pretty good idea of what Frank Vogel thinks and likes. Right. Because that's maybe the most important, or at least the most routine part of my job, is the pre and the post game convos with Vogel. So every single game, that's a good 20 minutes a day of hearing him speak about basketball. And it's how, honestly, it's how I learned about basketball, by listening to Phil Jackson, right? When I got here every day and just being like, damn, this dude is smart. Love Phil.
So
Vogel, like, at some point, and it's not like the Lakers had to, they knew that Denver wasn't going to play tonight. They really did. Jared Dudley said before the game.
Wasn't this a fun evening? Can you imagine losing to Houston and Oklahoma City on back-to-back games? Come on, man.
Jared Dudley knew that how Denver was going to play against Portland. They knew they were going to be in the play-in. And yet, Frank Vogel's lineup was the starters, and then here's who came in off the bench, right? Caruso, Kuz, Wesley Matthews, Gasol, and THT. And there was no McLemore. Harold didn't play. And like, that's the group that comes in, and that's a good ass defensive second unit. So this is going to bring me around back to my point where cohesion and chemistry, all that, like, they're going to throw out defensive groups that can smash your ass. And the rhythm on offense, that's why they lost to Portland in game one. It wasn't like that defense that was actually really damn good. They should have won that game by 15 points. They missed a ridiculous amount of wide open shots.
Well, and also they had like all these possessions where they couldn't even get into their offense because it's freaking Markieff Morris or Kyle Kuzma basically playing point guard on that. So you don't even.
Oh, no. Like, sorry, but Pete, I'm talking about game one of the game one of the Portland series last year.
My bad.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. But like that was why they lost that game. And then they, you know, kind of put the foot down. So what I'm saying is that the defense is going to translate immediately. They're going to play hard, and they are super talented defensively. They're super big, they're super long, and they're tough. So that to me is what gets you through Golden State, or even if you drop a game to Phoenix early, which I don't think would happen in that sense. But like, the defense to me is proven. Vogel is proven there. It's and it will carry through. And the rhythm is what's supposed to build on offense as the playoffs go on.
So
I think I'm at 70 now, by the way, after Mike's soliloquy right there. I think that added 5 confidence points.
No, those are all like the defense stuff and Vogel sort of dialing in the same way that we've been asking the players to dial in, right? Pete, for like a month ago, you were talking about like there's just a lack of seriousness going on here. And some of that was, I think, reflective in the lineups. You had said this, reflective in the lineups that Vogel was playing, right? And the lineups that we saw in this game, or at least the personnel, right? I think the lineups could even refine more because you might see even more Anthony Davis, right, than what you saw against the Pelicans, for example. But Vogel is sort of transitioning now, at least if this particular group of 10 guys holds, Vogel's clearly shifting into more of a playoff mode. The reason why, though, I will, and maybe this will dock a couple of points back off of your meter here, Pete, but the offense stuff does matter. And while these guys have played together, Mike, one of the things that I would point to is that the Lakers are going to be at their best, at their very, very best, when it's LeBron and AD in pure alpha mode, right? Like, that's what's going to carry them. And you know who hasn't played with AD in pure alpha mode? Pretty much Dennis Schroeder, for one. Right. And he's going to be a very important decision maker within the context of who gets the ball, how the offense functions, and in seeking out, he will be in non-LeBron minutes.
I mean, they got, yeah, this is where I'll call out my own face again. I'm like, you know, they've got LeBron. Isn't he still going to be on the court? And when he's not on the court, isn't Anthony Davis going to be, I don't know. Maybe I'm just less concerned about that, but let me get back to you here.
No, it's not that it's going to be a super concern, but Schroeder, the way that Schroeder plays is he is also an uber aggressive offensive player, and he is going to look for his shot first, and he's going to look for his shot probably out of the next 10 times, right? Second, he'll look for a shot probably 5 out of those next 10 times too. Right. And so if you're talking 15 out of the first 20 possessions where it's sort of just like, this is, I have a good look, I'm shooting. Like, some of those possessions need to go to Anthony Davis. And some of that is going to be AD sort of needing to step into that role. But some of that is going to need to be his teammates being like, yeah, this is going, we're actually going to go to you here. That it's not, I've got the ball, I'm Dennis Schroeder. AD is, and Schroeder's on the right wing, right? Which is one of his preferred operating locations. Let's say that Schroeder's in with AD and Drummond, and LeBron is first sub out.
Yeah, this is end of first quarter, end of third quarter type units.
Exactly. If AD is posting, or potentially is spacing to the weak side corner, and the option is, I'm going to navigate this set in order to get AD a post touch, but that's on the other side of the floor, or I'm going to call up Drummond to come and set a screen roll. Some of the stuff of flowing the game more towards Anthony Davis, those decisions are going to be made by Dennis Schroeder. And if you want to know why my confidence level isn't at 90, it has nothing to do with the talent that's on the team. It has nothing to do with their defensive potential or even their offensive potential. It's going to be based on the possession to possession decision making of the players who were not here last season for the championship run, and how quickly that falls into place for it to be prioritizing the players who need to be prioritized. That's not to diminish Dennis and his value, because I think he's going to be a super important player for this team with what he can do offensively. But I need for his sort of point guard gene to kick in a little bit more, where it's like, let's flow the game more towards Anthony Davis, because I think the New Orleans game was a bit of a, it was a bit of a one where it's just like, AD was sort of just out there this game. right? And maybe AD asserts himself to a level where it's just like none of anything I'm talking about is actually going to matter, because he will be forceful enough that the game will flow to him anyway. But there will be possessions where I just feel like, all right, like there's a negotiation that happens, and a lot of times that works itself out after more and more reps, I guess, is sort of where my position is right now.
So it's a really interesting thought, Darius. So second unit, right? If you're saying Schroeder's back in with that lineup, depending on the matchup, Marc Gasol could be on the court there. Caruso probably is. So right there, you've got two other guys that are going to be good, really good about that flow type stuff, right? They're going to help play into that. I also think we should assume that AD is going to be far more aggressive and locked in, because every game from here on matters a lot. And AD was super assertive in all of the games that mattered, or he had to show it, up until the point where, as you guys said, like the New Orleans game, I think he was just trying not to get hurt. He was annoyed that homie came over and slid into the ankle. By the way, Bron took a little shot post game at Solomon Hill, which I think Laker fans agree with. And he then called Steph the MVP, taking a shot at, I digress, taking a shot at Jokic in a way. But that's the, with this, this is, I guess, gets back to Pete's point about talent. And we could debate late this summer about talent on the roster. You know, I still think you could point to some Showtime teams, but like, there is so much there that I don't think you have to depend on, hey, Dennis Schroeder, this unit, you got to go take us to the promised land. With LeBron's down on the court, like, they have so many different options. And I'm not disagreeing, Darius. Like, he is the guy that gets that first crack. But I just don't think that he has to play a way where you're that reliant, almost in the way where, like, when Reggie Miller says Kuzma should have been the third scorer, like that type of stuff. And I love Reggie, but like, you don't need that a guy to be that third guy. You know, you got to spread that wealth.
Mike, my point is the Lakers do not need that. Does Dennis understand that? Right. And bridging that to me in the decision-making, possession to possession to possession, is what I'm looking for more here. Yeah, that's to say he doesn't do it, right? Because I think that he does. It's more just like, he is a relative still unknown to me when it comes to the highest stakes game that the Lakers can actually play. And so I'm not saying it's like prove
just
it to
a question.
Me, Dennis Schroeder. It's more just a question, and to me, an informed question, a little bit based off of what his inclination seems to be as an offensive player, which is like super aggressive, and how I help the team is going to get mine. And off of getting mine, I can then make plays for others.
So let me kick this to you, Pete, for a wrap-up thought on this. Like, I just think that if Dennis isn't properly respecting that, Jared Dudley's going to tell him, you know, Frank Vogel's going to tell him immediately, LeBron's going to tell him, and it's going to get better. But like, I get that they do need to see what it's like at these high stake games. Like, I didn't feel like Schroeder was taking possessions away from Chris Paul in game 7 last year, you know, against Houston. Like, I thought he kind of understood it and he was going to defend. But what's your thought on that? What you've observed this closely.
I don't think Schroeder's decision-making is going to be a huge impact until higher-level series. I have the same question as Darius does regarding him in those situations, but I don't think that, for example, Golden State, and we're about to do a whole preview on them, they're going to switch a lot. He really attacked when they had Wiseman, right? He attacked Wiseman a ton. A lot of our... Yeah, I'll save the on-court stuff and the X's and O's stuff for the next episode. I don't think that that's an important enough factor to make that big of a difference right now. The one thing I will say, though, is that the version of the game that we lose to Golden State is one in which we turn the ball over quite a bit, and Dennis's decision-making may be very well a big part of that. But you said something earlier, Mike, about our defense. and that we've played high-level defense. And in my arguments with myself, that is the best optimistic point I was able to make, is that I trust our defense. We haven't been playing up to what we can be, but we just had a wire-to-wire season of number one in the league in defensive rating. In a league where, in a year where we had a lot of turnover, a lot of different lineups, a lot of reasons to not necessarily be great on the defensive end. And we had our holes, because part of that is relative to how well or poorly the rest of the league was defending. But it speaks to your point about how much defensive talent we have. We really have a ton of it. And if we're able to defend at a high level, I think that we have enough weapons in, even if it's just an early offense and simple, I'd like the offense just to be generally simple as often as possible in terms of high ball screens. You know, our post-ups need to get a lot better. But if we defend at a high level, we're going to be fine. But there's always that high variance in a one-game situation. So you've been listening to this first episode. On the next one, we're going to get into a full preview of this play-in game against the Golden State Warriors. But until tomorrow's episode, you've been listening to Laker Film Room Podcast. We'll catch you guys next time.
James has got it in low to McHale. McHale wants to turn. He's double teamed. Just pass out of front, broken up by Worthy. Tip to Magic. Worthy dies on his belly. Magic scores.
There's Magic, got it. Magic fires. It's good. The Lakers win the game. The Lakers win the game.
Rebound of Lottie. 3 seconds left. Van Exel to win it. It's on the way. Good.
Kobe Bryant, 48 points, 16 rebounds. Shaq with his eighth block shot that ties an NBA Finals record.
A lot of Laker fans sticking around for this.
You're seeing something that's very rare indeed. A Laker to get MVP chance
right, in Boston.
In Boston.
Of all places.
Are you kidding me?
Kobe, hard to believe.
Are you kidding me? Unreal. Are you kidding me?
Lakers looking to push. Bryant spinning in the lane. Back for Gasol. Pretty pass. And it's back to a three-point game.
Kobe Bryant picked up by Bell.
There's the move. Two, one.
Miss it.
Bryant. Unbelievable. It's over.
Shot clock now to five. Bryant. Yes.
And that was a little tough to Albert Gentry.
Add insult to injury, Kobe. I mean, what a shot. I mean, you can't defend that. Are you kidding me?
2.1 seconds remaining. Denver a foul to give. Jokic trying to disrupt Rondo. He puts it in. Here's Davis. 4-3 in the win. Oh, it's good. Anthony Davis has won it for the Lakers. James again. Oh, he hits another one. LeBron James putting together a closing quarter against the Nuggets.
This historic 2020 NBA championship belongs to the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers conquer the bubble, and banner number 17 will soon hang in the rafters.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.